I got shooters touch. Can't nobody ball like me.
I was getting a lot of no letters. And I kept some of the letters because it was like motivation for me.
I was young in my coaching career. I did know that those guys I was coaching, this was their one opportunity.
If you really want the players to like you, just make them better.
If I want to keep playing this game, you know, as a job, I have to continue to get better at that.
You have to figure out a way to carve out some value that you have that you can bring not only to your team but also your profession.
It's really good information, and I pick up little nuggets all the time.
For me, it's all about confidence, man. You have to have confidence to be a shooter, to be a basketball player in general, to have success. It's all about confidence. If they walk a mile in my shoes, then they can ball like I do. But my game different, not the
same with it. I travel now, y'all just change pivots. Well, Coach Sigrist, welcome back to the Shooter's Touch. We were talking a little off air. It's been a few years since we've had you on. You've had made a few changes since then as well, with a quick stopover on the boys' side and then coming back to the girls' side, where you are now obviously the current head coach of the Norwalk girls. Coach, welcome back to the podcast.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Brian. I'm excited to be here, and got a long road trip to Lewis Central this afternoon, but our girls are off to a great start at 7-0, and we'll see how we handle a long road trip today.
Yeah, it's always fun to get out and see how different environment, how the travel, how you can kind of prepare a little bit. And so it'll be, we also talked a little bit off air, you know, you guys, your schedule tends to be fairly close, so the long trips don't usually happen quite that often. So it's kind of nice for them to get an opportunity to get out and see a little bit of what that would look like. And you mentioned off to a great start already. Coach, I know following along, you guys did some nice stuff in the summer. But this is a team that, correct me if I'm wrong, but already passed the win total from last year. Is that correct?
Yeah, they were 6-16 last year. First round exit in the tournament. Yeah, I mean, 7-0 this year. We're dancing in the locker room a little bit, just because you got like to celebrate those small victories. Not, you know, it's not our season goals or anything, but you know, surpassing your win total from the previous year with everybody returning is a pretty big deal. And we did that in the first seven games. So super proud of this younger group with one senior leader in Anna Larson. She's just doing a great job, both on and off the floor, of leading us in every way. And so we're having fun with it. The girls are having tons of fun. And I couldn't be happier with our start and where I'm at as a coach here in Norwalk.
It's been crazy, like I said, to see the transformation. What were some of the biggest changes? Like I said, I mentioned, you know, doing some more stuff in the summer and really kind of ramping up that schedule. It kind of looked like, at least from watching from a distance. Like you said, I know you got a good group of girls, a good senior leader. Obviously, some girls, some underclassmen that can really play always helps too. But to make that big of a jump, what changed in the offseason to help you guys be successful already?
Well, I have to give a lot of credit to my assistant coaches. Rob Wiedebrand was with me for 7 years at Valley. So this is our eighth year together, and he actually was with me for a couple years running our junior high program there at Valley. Him and Tony Birmingham implemented a lot of what we are doing better this year offensively, with our dribble drive motion offense. And the girls are a year older, so they're a year more mature, a year stronger, and then focusing more on those fundamentals in practice and you know, working on our speed. The biggest thing they told me as assistant coaches is we need to make practice more focused and get the girls running our speed. And he knew what our speed was at Valley. So, and the girls are so coachable. I have to credit, you know, Bailey Birmingham, to 26, 27 point a game scorer so far for us. She's leading us on the floor. When your best player is also your hardest worker, she's in there before practice for shooting. She's in there after practice for shooting. So there's a lot of really good factors that I came into a great situation. And then, you know, I think I just know how to try to work on things defensively and put us in a really good spot as far as scouting. And, you know, when you put all those things together, I think it's a recipe for a lot of success. And that's what we've seen early this season.
Yeah, it makes a huge difference. Like you said, when your best player is one of the ones that's putting in the most work, and it's funny how those things go hand in hand, Coach. You become the best player by putting in the work, and it sounds like Bailey is definitely doing that. And the numbers have shown, like you said, almost 26 and a half, almost 27 a game for you, and shooting at a high clip too. I mean, she's over mid 40% from both the floor and from 3-point. And so she's efficient in her scoring as well. And so that's awesome. You talked about the coachability. I want a quick stop. So obviously helping on you're predominantly on the girls' side, but you had a quick stop when you first came to Norwalk on the boys' side. It's similar, but different. And so take me through that a little bit. How is spending so much time on the girls' side and then a quick pit stop on the boys' side, now back to the girls' side? Is there something that you realized about the different athlete and the style in which that you can coach and teach?
You know, not so much. We've lived in Norwalk for 11 years now, and my boys both go to Norwalk. That's why I made the move. You know, Grady is now a junior and playing really well on the boys' side. And he was the sixth man last year for the boys team for Coach Aaron Pelzer, who does an awesome job. So just being a volunteer assistant for him, you know, I took a step back and learned some new things. He runs a great practice and a great program himself. And, you know, but I love being a head coach, and I learned a lot from those boys. That they had a great run last year. I think won 17 games in a row, a state tournament appearance in 4A. And, you know, they're looking for bigger and better things again this year. But it was fun to be a part of that, especially with your oldest son on the team and making big contributions. And Grady's off to a great start. The boys are off to a 3-1 start too. So I get to do what I love, and that's being a head coach, helping this girls program rebound and get back to where I think it should be. And then right after our games, you know, tonight I'll be watching our boys and my son play. And, you know, Reddick, when you look at Reddick Bourne going to UNI, such a great player and scorer. And again, hardest worker. When you have a player that's like that, that's the hardest worker, there's so many others on the team can learn from. And there's a lot of parallels between him and Bailey. And I think that's why we're seeing the success on both sides of both programs. And so my son learning from him and, you know, Coach Pelzer, like I said, doing a great job with he and his staff. I just try to draw parallels that make both programs successful.
Well, it's working, Coach. That's for sure. It's been fun to kind of follow along and see how both programs are going. Obviously, here at the Shooter's Touch, we have some pretty close ties to Norwalk, and so we've been keeping an eye on how things have been going, and it's been a fun ride here so far. Speaking of that, so looking down the list, you know, a really good win against Ballard, and then at Pella. Take me to that Pella game. It's got kind of twofold on this. Obviously, a 2-point win at Pella, always a tough place to play. Maybe your first real tester, if you could, for the girls. And so what were you able to do to hold on and pull out a victory there at Pella?
Yeah, well, I think this is going to be one of your next questions, but it is such a tough place to play. And there were 53 fouls called in that girls' game. I mean, think about that for a second. That is a ton of fouls. And our girls found a way. We weren't our best at times, but we hit crucial free throws. I think Bailey hit 11 for 12 that night something like that. That was just, I mean, she's gone to the free throw line 84 times this year. We've gone 181 times as a team. So we're doing things and we're hitting at an almost 70% clip. And that's our team goal. So we're hitting crucial free throws. We're making big plays, both offensively and defensively, late in games. And that's what's encouraging for me as a first-year head coach here in Norwalk, is our girls are not weren't used to winning before this year, but they're finding different ways to win. And you talked about our summer together and our fall league together. Those were so instrumental in our early success and just learning each other as a staff and as players and how we can be most successful in crucial parts of games. I think we're finding different ways to win. And I am super proud of how we have done that. And yes, that was a close 2-point victory. And we just made a crucial stop in the end. We hit crucial free throws. So I'm just really encouraged by all of that from our team.
That's good. That, like you said, you can find different ways to win. It always bodes well, as opposed to having to necessarily rely on one thing to go right. You can find another way to do it each and every night. Every opponent, every gym, and every situation is going to be different. And so finding ways to win is what's important. You're right, because touching on these fouls is where I want to go next. I want to talk about the rule change a little bit and how, you know, we had the shot clock added a year ago, and now we have the one-on-one has gone away, and we're going with the bonus at the end of the quarters. What have you noticed? Obviously, that was your closest game. A lot of fouls being called on that. But, you know, through 7 games, what are your thoughts, feelings, and opinions, I guess, on the rule change with the free throws?
I like it as far as flow of the game, you know, with the reset every quarter. I think there's been better flow. However, do not think there have been less fouls called, you know, because, you know, officials know that it's going to reset each quarter. So I don't think they mind calling the physicality of the game more, I guess, true to what it is. That's been my experience early on in the season with scrimmages in these 7 games. So I think more fouls have actually been called. And then we've been in the bonus, you know, I'd say a lot of quarters right around the 3-4 minute mark. And that's our style of play. We play a downhill fast style, which then causes, you know, other teams to adjust and I think maybe reach more. And you know, when they're tired, we want to wear the other teams down. When they're tired, they're going to foul more. They're going to reach more. They're going to, you know, try to stop fast breaks and things. So I would say I've seen more fouls called, more free throws, but flows of games are typically better. Now, that Pella game, that 53 fouls is too many to have in a game. And I thought some of those that were called early were probably a little too ticky-tack, we like to say. But when we're seeing 30 to 35 fouls on average in a game, that's quite a bit. So, but I do like the rule change.
I would largely agree with you too. I think it's something that, like anything, you kind of got to get a little used to, but ultimately, right. You know, I think it'll be good. I think it does help with the flow. It helps with a lot of things. Do you think it, obviously maybe the one argument is, and I don't know how many times this has even maybe came up in your career, but where you have needed to foul and you're in a 1-on-1 and the girl misses a front end, you know, it takes a little bit of that away, but I don't think enough to where it would impact as many games as you would think. And like you said, I think holistically just kind of, I'm a big proponent of getting all the rules the same at all levels too. So preparing these girls for the college game as well. I think just all the things that go into it just is going to be a positive in the long run.
Right. The women's college game, which you just referenced, has seen such a great benefit to these rule changes, moving to the 10-minute quarters and the 5 fouls, you know, is where you shoot 2 free throws. You know, those games are higher scoring, better flow. You know, I've gone to a lot of Drake games in the last couple of years, and, you know, with Caitlin Clark and Iowa and Fenley at Iowa State. I mean, they've got really good women's basketball programs in this state. And we hope to keep contributing really good high school players to those programs. And, you know, when they see such a great product on the collegiate floor, I'm glad we've matched their rules, you know, just 2 minutes less per quarter, but matching their rules will help us adjust to their games even more. And that's all a good thing to make it uniform.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with you. Well, last thing here, Coach, looking through the schedule. So you talked about it, you're on your way to Lewis Central here today. Indianola will come to your place on Friday. And then next week, you have two home games, Lincoln, and then the big one before break, Coach, Dallas Center Grimes. I know you're not putting the cart in front of the horse here, but it's hard not to look down and as you try to wrap up your year and see that game on the schedule. What are you looking forward to here to the rest of the month and then concluding with that big matchup there on the 21st?
Well, like you said, we have a tough one tonight, and I try not to get too far ahead of myself, especially talking to the girls. You know, we'll give them a scouting report on Lewis Central tonight, and that's our focus. But, yeah, in the back of your mind, you know that the defending champs are coming up next Thursday. We did move that game to Thursday because holiday break starts for both schools on that Friday. So it'll be a little bit different day, throw off our preparation a little bit, but, you know, it does the same thing for them. And Adam Jones is such a great coach. You know, I was cheering for him and happy that he got, you know, that first state title last season. And he returns a lot of really good players, and I know some other players have moved in, and they're going to be a great measuring stick for us. And, you know, I look forward to those games because they're so competitive. It'll be a packed house there in Dallas Center Grimes. And, you know, I'm just looking forward to competing against one of the best and the number one team. You know, we're number three right now, so it'll likely be a top five showdown and heading right into the holidays. So you couldn't ask for much better. And I'm just excited about the opportunity for our kids, and I think we'll play well and see kind of where we're at that night.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a good way to end the first half of the season too, is like you said, either one riding high, feeling good going into break, or maybe a little motivation depending on how that game shakes out and making sure you work hard and come back from break ready to go. But either way, definitely something to look forward to. Coach, we're excited for you. We'll definitely keep an eye on you. We wish you the best of luck here as you finish off December, get these kids into break. Good luck tonight. Safe travels, everybody there. And we appreciate you taking some time.
Thanks, Brian, for having me, and really appreciate the Shooter's Touch.
We really appreciate Coach Sigrist jumping on the podcast with us. He's always fun to talk to. So insightful, understands the game. Been doing it a long time and had a lot of success. So to get his insight and input on things is always a lot of fun. So again, thanks, Coach. Appreciate you jumping on. With that, let's transition out to Adel, where ADM head boys coach Trevor Michelson joins the podcast. A buddy of mine, we did some coaching back in our college days actually together. And so it's always been fun to watch his journey from Waukee now out to ADM, an opportunity to have his own program and the strides and growth that they've been able to make under his tutelage. And so we talk with Coach and catch up with how things are going for them and what his thoughts are on with the rule change and how it's impacted them, if at all. So let's jump into it. Coach Michelson, ADM Tigers. Fun to catch up with you. I've been kind of following along as you guys have continued to go and you've grown that program out there at ADM. Welcome back to the podcast.
Hey, I appreciate you having me on. It's been fun to listen. You know, you talk about building our program. You guys build the podcast into something that's really fun and valuable for coaches. So it's always a good listen on the bus rides in the Raccoon River. We got a couple longer bus rides, and so I can always catch a pod or two.
Oh, I appreciate that. That's kind of always been the goal, is to try to be like, hey, these coaches sitting on the bus or whatever they're doing, get an opportunity to maybe catch or pick something up from somebody else. And so big reason also why we want to have you on. Obviously, you guys are off to a good start here. Had a tough one in the opener against a really good Dallas Center Grimes team. That's kind of a tough way for anybody to open up. But since then, you guys have responded, won three in a row here, three good games against three good opponents. And so what do you like so far about how the boys are playing here for you?
Yeah, like you said, I like how we've bounced back. You know, going into the Dallas Center game, I had a number of coaches that were like, Dallas Center Grimes is really good. And they kind of, it was almost like a warning. And until you see them on the floor and how well they move the ball, you know, I think it caught our guys by surprise a little bit, and it humbled our guys. I think, you know, we had scrimmaged a really good Appleton Parkersburg team and you know, thought we took away some good notes from that. And then for that first game that actually counted, we struggled at times. And so I think it kind of grounded us a little bit, but I've really been happy with how the guys have responded. Like you said, we've put together three pretty good games since, and you know, hope to keep that rolling tonight as we host North Polk.
Yeah, North Polk tonight should be a good matchup. I'd be anxious to see kind of how that goes. Looking back through these three games, you know, the Ballard game was a 2-point game. The Bondurant, you ended up pulling away a little bit late, but that was close down the stretch. And then even the Gilbert game was close too. And so what do you like about the way that your guys are able to finish off and win some of these games, even when things get a little close?
Been really happy with how we've executed down the stretch in crucial situation, you know, coming out of timeouts, been able to draw stuff up and execute it. And I think that's been a big step for us, because last year, if you look back, we lost a lot of really close games. And part of it was, you know, missing key shots or execution or free throws. Our guys have had the confidence and have been comfortable stepping to the free throw line. We've made free throws when necessary. We've executed at times. And, you know, it's been fun, because in these games, you don't look back and be like, okay, one team is losing because of mistakes they've made. You know, I think we've been winning games because of the plays our guys have been making. And so that's fun to walk away from that and know, like, you know, you earned a victory in that sense because your guys are out making plays.
Yeah, it is always nice to be able to know that, you know, clean game, win or lose, it's always nice to be able to walk away saying, hey, that was a good basketball game. Guys are doing what they need to. And then, as you mentioned, when you do the right things seem to fall in place, and you walk away with a win. I know I caught a little bit of your Bondurant game the other night, and watching your guys get up and down. You guys play, you know, a very free-flowing style, both on both ends, like to get up and down, like to score points. It looks, you know, other than that loss to Dallas Center Grimes, you're in the 60s to 70s in most of your games. One of the reasons I brought you on is I want to talk a little bit about the rule change. Watching the other night, didn't seem like it impacted you guys a whole lot. I'm not sure you guys even got in the bonus with a close game against Bondurant. And so what are some of your takeaways here early? You know, you're only four games in the season, but with the bonus foul rule change going away from the 1-on-1.
So far, it hasn't had a huge impact on any of our games. I would say the one difference is late in the Ballard game where they were starting to foul. It does, as a coach, maybe give you a sense of relief, or like, okay, a kid's automatically going to get two free throws as opposed to him having to hit the front end of a 1-on-1. And maybe a little bit sigh of relief for the player as well. And so we were fortunate enough. We shot really well down the stretch in that game, and I don't know if that plays a part into it. The only other instance that we've really come across that maybe is, and it was probably more for me as a coach, I needed to say something. We got to the end of a quarter, and where usually, you know, years past, knowing that the fouls carry over, I wouldn't take a foul at the end of the first quarter or the end of the third quarter, knowing you don't want to put a team into the bonus or double bonus in the next quarter. But we had three fouls late in a quarter, and I told our guys, hey, let's take one. Well, the official, I don't think, knew we were trying to take a foul. My guy put two hands on him. He didn't call it, and they made a couple more passes and hit a three at the end of the buzzer. And I told my guys, I was like, the official was right in front of me. I should have told him, like, hey, we're going to try to take a foul here just to stop the clock with, you know, 3 or 4 seconds left and make him throw it in from the side. So that was something, you know, that was for me. You know, I'd never really thought about having to communicate that with an official at the end of a quarter. And so that was something, you know, learn from me, and we'll probably change that going forward in terms of how that looks. But outside of that, I think it's been a good rule change. It hasn't, like you said, it hasn't impacted us too much, small sample size with only four games, but I think it'll be good for the game. And, so far the players haven't said anything about, you know, not liking it. So
that's interesting. Like you mentioned at the end of the quarter, obviously playing strategy into it, and like anything, rule changes, you know, whether it was the shot clock before, it takes a little getting used to for everybody, officials as well, score, everyone work in the book and all that stuff. It's going to take a little bit of an adjustment, but like the shot clock from the games I've seen, everyone seemed to be picking up on it pretty quick and understanding kind of how things work. Again, small sample size. We'll see how that goes. Have you noticed an uptick? You know, since the fouls aren't up on the board, does it feel like maybe there's more fouls called, or have you not noticed really anything to where it's like, okay, because now they're resetting, you know, you don't look up there and see, oh, it's 9-4, we're going to dial it back. Has that leveraged anyway for you guys in your games yet?
Not really. I haven't seen a huge change in it yet. Again, maybe it's the small sample sizes, but I haven't in any game really felt like man, we're fouling too much, and had to tell our guys like, hey, you got to kind of back off to where we've been putting teams in the bonus early in a quarter or anything like that. So that's been nice. I do think it's good for that. Like, yeah, there are times where it would be a 9-4. Well, after one quarter, it resets and kind of everyone can catch their breath. And if the officials need to talk about, hey, guys are calling things different, they have the freedom then to do that. And you kind of start fresh in that next quarter and they don't feel like they have to try to even it out, which I don't think they ever do. But as coaches and as fans in the stands, they see that number differential. And a lot of times it just, that's instantly where your mind goes. It's like, okay, one team's getting the benefit of the doubt. A lot of times it's due to, you know, styles of play or whatever the case may be.
Right. Yeah. No, that's interesting. I mean, wanted to touch and talk with some of you guys, try to figure out, you know, how it's been for you so far. Like I said, the games I've seen, I thought the adjustments has been really well all the way around. All right. So as we finish out December here for the Tigers, we're going through, you mentioned North Polk, you got Boone, Perry, and then Van Meter to finish before we go into break. What are you, obviously not trying to look too far ahead, but what are you anxious about here for the rest of this month and get these kids to break and home for Christmas for a little bit before you guys pick things back up?
Obviously, you know, out of those four games, three of them are at home. So excited to have three home games. I think that helps our guys, obviously more comfortable at home. And so it's nice to have three home games, you know, going into break. And then that gives you an opportunity to kind of really settle in and see where you're at. But it's going to be four really different games. North Polk's a team that's kind of had our number the last couple of years. And so this opportunity to maybe get the monkey off our back tonight a little bit, you know, they've got us, I think, dating back 3 years, I think six games in a row now. And so, you know, and I talked to our guys with last week, you know, since I've been at ADM, kind of the standard of our conference has been Bondurant and North Polk. You know, obviously Bondurant last year and then North Polk made the semifinals, but both years they've had really good teams, as with some other teams as well. But, you know, and so to get the Bondurant win was big, and hopefully we can follow it up with a good performance tonight. And then Friday is Boone, and that's, you know, they beat us up at their place last year. And so it's a tough gym to go into. They play a tough, aggressive zone. And so they've already had a huge win against Winterset and played Ballard tough. And so that'll be a tough one. And then finishing next week, Perry and Van Meter present different challenges because we've never played Van Meter the last few years. And so it'll be a team that our guys are not familiar with. And same with Perry, we only play them once a year. And so it you just kind of have to refocus, and those games being on a Monday, Thursday, you're kind of out of your schedule a little bit. And so I'm excited to see how our guys respond, and hopefully we got four good games in us before break here.
Yeah, definitely. It'll be fun to follow along, see how you guys do and how things are able to come together. And then obviously continue through league play after break. You have some challenges in there, but it'll definitely be fun to keep an eye and see how things are going. Hey, watching the game the other night, your guys' gym is really sweet. Like, you got to be excited. It's cool. Like, I was like, I've been there a few times, but seeing it again, I was looking at the floor. I'm like, this is good. I like the vibe.
Yeah, it's a cool gym, and it's got the track up above. And especially on, like, there's nights where, you know, either a rival comes or there's a big game. Like, we had a really good crowd against Bondurant. It's fun once it starts to get amped up and get loud. You look up above and see the middle school kids running on the track and stuff and kind of looking over kind of down on the floor. And yeah, it's a great environment. And so I'm excited, happy to be a part of it. And hopefully we can continue to give fans a reason to come to the game. So
it's always more fun when you're winning. Well, Coach, I appreciate you taking some time and jumping on with us. Best of luck tonight here and the rest of the month, and we'll catch you over break here sometime.
Sounds good.